had to sing forever of his saving grace, his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice and all of my cares. I'll be home at last and ever to rejoice.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? God is good, and we thank him for waking us up this morning to see another day. You love God? Do you really love God? Let's lift God up this morning. How to reach the meaning of every birth, for an answer Jesus gave us. Yes, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let's lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Amen, amen, amen. We want to welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, especially if you are visiting this morning. You are honored guests, and I thank you for choosing to visit with us here. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be here, good to be alive, good to wake up this morning. Some of you might have some pains, but thank the Lord you're here. We are blessed. We're almost trying to get kind of back to a semblance of normality, if I can say that. For some of us are still stretched out in different places, and we are praying for you and praying with you that God will get you back to where you are in a comfortable state. And that's those of us that haven't been uncomfortable, don't forget that. And don't forget to be in prayer for those who are still trying to get things right in their lives, and be sympathetic to those. Many in our congregation have been affected, and so we're going to keep you in prayer. Many of us have been working since the storm, just doing a lot of things, cleaning, delivering, serving the community. But through it all, God has been good. Amen. He really has. He's blessed us so much. And so if you've been blessed, just be a blessing to somebody else, because the shoe might turn on you the next time. Next time you'll be out your house and be begging and asking and in lines and just distressed. So we just thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. If you had Bible hours began, resume today. So if you have some children that's, I believe, in the ages of 4 to 12, a Bible hour has resumed. They're beginning back up. And then some of you that would like to volunteer for Bible hour, it's our children's worship service. If you'd like to volunteer throughout the quarter, please see Brother Roger Mill, and I know he won't turn down your help. Amen. Amen. Today is October the 1st. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I want to begin today a lesson series with entitled Capstone, Transformational Discipleship Series. I know those are some long words. Transformational Discipleship Series. Today is the first lesson of the series. The word capstone in construction terms, it would be the finishing stone. It has a dual purpose of one is a structural purpose as it stabilizes. The other is an appearance. It's the aesthetics of a building. It gives a finishing touch on a structure. But in the way we're using it today, it's actually the high point or the crowning achievement. If you were in school and in getting your bachelor's degree, most bachelor's degree require a research paper at the end of the close to the end of the semester. If you are getting your master's degree, most master's degree require what's called a capstone. If you're getting your doctor's degree, a dissertation. But all of them are a combining of elements, if you will, of information, of tools that you have learned, you studied throughout the semesters and throughout the year, and teaching and absorbing all of this information. But the capstone is proof that you have, it's a demonstration of everything that you've learned and everything that you've been taught. And so we are today, October the 1st, entering into the final quarter of the year. Man, where has time gone? This is the fourth quarter, if you will, if you're in sports terms, and our goal is to review, to assemble, to equip, and hopefully to apply all that we are learning, that God is trying to teach us to be able to apply to our mission. We set a theme this year. What was our theme? What is our theme this year of making disciples and making a difference? And you know, we say that, but it doesn't mean anything if we don't do anything to try to do what our theme says. And we say it's our theme, but it really is God's mission, and it was the apostles' mission. And I know this is sort of repetitious, but as we and I know I've asked you in the past to stay with us as we go through some of these lesson series, and you know good and well, you can't preach one sermon that includes everything that we need to know what God wants us to know. And we come to Bible classes, and that's why we stress Bible classes. But I want you to bear with me as we try to introduce this series and give the groundwork for which we're on. Because, see, our mission is God's mission. It was the apostles' mission. And I've said it repeatedly because I want to make sure that I, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus, that I emphasize what God emphasized is most important to us. And I'm going to read the passage again in your hearing in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Listen to God's mission and the apostles' mission. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. They were doubtful because Jesus had been crucified. Now he's arisen. And some didn't believe it was him, but the apostles knew that it was him. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus is the boss. He's the man. He is the one we answer to, that we model our lives. There is no greater model, no greater news, no greater information than you need to get from anybody else but Jesus. And we echo that because we have individuals, even in the body of Christ, who will get so excited about everything else but Jesus. We read and we go to school and we get our education, trying to reach all of these achievements. We pass by the most important of all. And he said, "Go therefore and make disciples." Everybody say, "Make disciples." "Of all the nations." He's talking to the 11 now. He's talking to the 11 now. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." which was also Paul's, the apostle Paul, who was not with them at this time. It was also Paul's mission, who wrote at least 13 letters, epistles of the New Testament. Colossians 1:28, we listen to Paul as he speaks. We proclaim him, admonishing, a strongly encouraging, a warning every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ, making disciples. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Paul's mission was the apostles' mission, was God's mission, which also is our mission. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men generically, men and women, who will be able to teach others also. Everything we've learned is duplicated over and over again to people trying to make disciples of every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. God wants us all to be disciples, pupils, students, apprentices, lifelong learners of him. That is our mission as the church. That is our mission as individual members of the body of Christ, and never, ever forget it. Amen. Which will bring us, for those who say, what's in it for me? Which will bring us the greatest reward that we could ever, ever, ever have. Listen to the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. This is just one text. Who are protected, speaking of the disciples, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And we can relate to that. Yes, and sometimes this is what throws us off track, because we're going through some things. But I am not by myself. All of us are going through some things. Why? Because of a three-letter word, S-I-N, in this world we live in. And you got evil and crooked people and lying and cheating people. And some of them are in our own houses. Amen. And they cause us trials and aches and pains. But the disciples does not give up. Amen. The disciple recognizes that there is something better. And if I yet but hold on, I will get my reward. We read on, and he says, so that the proof of your faith. Did you not know some of the things that you are going through right now? If you stand up to the test, it only proves that you really are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you're not like some of these fair weather fans of these sports teams. When they're winning, they're always cheering. But when they're losing, you go on another team's side. And even through it all, we're not going to denounce our great God in heaven. Amen. The result, no, so the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ, because that same Jesus who has all power, one day he's coming back. And the scripture says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. Oh, we love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a song we sing, where the soul never dies. People die, but our souls go back to God. Amen. And we'll answer one day. So the reward is for us all. And we can't skip this part because sometimes we forget why we're even here. We so used to getting jumping up on Sunday morning, we just put on our clothes and, well, I'm going to church again. You need to know why you are in here worshiping God. You need to know why you're putting up with foolishness on your job. You need to know why you're trying to teach your children the right way. Yeah, and so we are disciples. We're trying to, but it gets tough sometimes. Lord have mercy, you know, to stay on the right track, and so we're trying to grow here in this last quarter of the year. We want to understand how to be transformed, because every person really in the world is a disciple of something or somebody. We following somebody or following some belief that we have, and it's driving us every day. And I was reading. Let me read an excerpt from the biography of a famous leader and his disciple. It says, in the leader's final hours, he was almost completely alone. He faced death without the company of those who swore their allegiance. Most of his trusted and closest friends deserted him. Some fled and painfully betrayed him. The world scorned him, but not this disciple. This disciple will remain faithful to death, following his leader to the grave. His mind was fully committed, his will set on his leader's agenda, and his heart thrilled by the intimacy of the relationship with his teacher. He was in awe of his king, humbled to be included in the inner circle. This disciple wrote an early encounter with his leader. Listen to what he said. Great joy. He greets me like an old friend and looks after me. How I love him. Then he speaks. How small am I? Later, the disciple penned these words about his leader's teaching and influence. We shall go down in history as the greatest statesman of all time, or the greatest criminals. The disciple's name was Joseph Goebbels, and he was a disciple of his Führer, yes, his leader, Adolf Hitler. While others deserted Hitler, Goebbels spent his last days alongside him in Hitler's secure bunker. When Hitler committed suicide, Goebbels and his wife followed closely behind after killing their 6 children. Goebbels was correct. They are known as the greatest criminals in history. Goebbels was a true disciple of Hitler, a follower, a student. He trusted and emulated his leader to the end. The important question for us today is not, are we a disciple? We are. Some of us are disciples of ourselves even. Some of us are disciples of people that we admire. Some of us are disciples. You take great entertainers. Many of them model their careers, their movements, their activities after one or more person. Many of us, we model our coaches, model after coaches. The coach of the Texans was a disciple of the coach of the New England Patriots. Many of our kids model themselves after an older teenager. Some of our rappers model themselves after rappers. You know what the important question for us is not, are we a disciple? Because we are all disciples. The critical question is, who is worthy of our discipleship? Yes, this Goebbels, Mr. Goebbels, yes, he's to be commended to being a disciple, but he had his faith in the wrong person. And the question we need to ask ourselves, are we going to be a disciple of the one who holds all power in his hands or not? Yes, if eternal salvation is not the reward of your master, then whoever you are a disciple of doesn't even count. And it's really worthless and it's really useless. I want to read the verse that was read in your hearing from the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans 12 and 1. The Bible would say, therefore, I urge you, brethren. You've heard it before, many of you. I urge you, I beg you, I strongly encourage you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, he's speaking to disciples. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of wish or worship. And do not be conformed. Everyone say conform. It's almost a weird word that means do not be shaped. It's like taking a piece of clay and conforming it to the shape of whatever you want to. Don't be conformed to this world, but be everybody say transformed. But be transformed by the renewing, the remaking of your mind. And so we understand before we've come, you know, we all have a way of thinking. We all have a ways that we were raised and things, thoughts that we have. But allow God to remake, to renew our mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect are the word. Means complete, whole in Christ Jesus. Question: do we have some growing to do? In this final fourth quarter of the year, let's commit ourselves to allowing God to transform. I've been in the church a while. I know all of those scriptures, but you're not transformed yet. See, I know you're not. If you said that in your mind, here we go again, you surely are not transformed. Because someone who is hungry for the word of God and recognizes that I still need to grow. Yeah. What is it that you need to work on? Yeah. And see, it all starts right here in our mind. Because it's amazing how things change when our minds change. It's amazing how a person's personality, a person's old tendencies can change with a made-up mind. And I understand what the apostle was trying to encourage the disciples. See, you see, the word transform, it's a word, it comes from the original word was the word from metamorpho. Where we get the word metamorphosis from. It's literally a change. It's a change in nature. It's a change in disposition. It's a change in heart. It's a change of form. It's a change of, I know some brother, you know, when people get old, they can't change. I don't believe that. No. We can change. The question we need to ask, will we change? Some of us, we convince our own self, but you know what? I've been doing it so long, it ain't gonna change. Yeah, we can change. You can stop cursing anytime you get ready, can't you? Amen. Now, I'm not saying it might take a little while or challenge, but until you get in your mind, yeah you can stop changing. You know what? A man can stop chasing a bunch of women, can't he? Don't say too much now. Yeah. Yes, a woman can be faithful. A wife can submit if she wants to. I know the sisters might not say nothing. But can a wife submit if she wants to, brothers?
See,
we need some transformation, though. Yeah. See, this is discipleship. I understand what Paul was. We can change. I know some things. If I wouldn't have changed, I know some things that if I wouldn't have changed, I'd have had trouble in my house. I'm talking about my house. I had to change my tone of voice. Amen, somebody. And you know, I come from a talking loud house. If you wanted somebody, I was the baby boy. If you wanted somebody to hear you, you had to talk loud. Mama! Because my brothers, they all, I'm just saying, so I talk loud. I took that to my house when I got grown. Hey, bring me some water. Cut the lights off in here. I was a little bit too loud. I won't go in long into that. But don't, stop saying you can't change. Stop putting that in your, see, some, and I'm not saying changing just to change because somebody wants, I'm talking about because God wants us to change. Amen. For the better. You know, some of us, you know, we like to run everything. You can't run everything. Amen. We go into a meeting, if it does, things don't go our way, and you just act a plumb nut. Amen. Nothing gets done. Because why? Because that's what you want. Some of us, we need to change some things. And this is so personal. We're not talking about everybody. We're just talking about what I need to transfer. And transformation, there should be a difference. And when you become a disciple, there should be some changes that are occurring in our practical everyday lives. And so the scriptures address that. Did you not know that most of the New Testament scriptures are written to people who've already decided to be a disciple? Most of the Word of God, the whole New Testament, is written to people who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're given, it's given instruction on what you need to do to make these transformational changes.
Amen.
But true discipleship is transformational. See, it's transformational. It is a changing. And I'm not saying it happens overnight. But one of the signs of spiritual immaturity is someone who has been in the body of Christ for lengths of time, and they are still acting like they've never read a scripture in the Bible. And that should not be. It really should not be. And this is just a time for us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I being honest with myself? You know, everybody else see what's going on but you. I don't see what they see. Now, understand this, though. True discipleship is transformational, but it's not to be confused with imitation or even brainwashing. You know, for instance, you know how the world television, mass media, through the use of millions of messages of mass media, every day, literally every day, the world attempts to conform our thinking, our standards. It's trying to shape the way we think. And often we buy things and we do things that we would not do had we not seen or heard these repetitious messages. And we know it's because of it, because we buy things we didn't even know existed. And we do things we had never heard of until we see this message over and over again. And it's trying to conform our thinking. It's trying to make you think you need something that you didn't even know about a week ago. And so, for instance, some of us, we got stuff that we bought in our house right now because we was up late watching TV. And it came to our door, and we bought it, and we opened the box, and we looked at it, and we haven't used it, so we put it back on our shelf, and it still, we never use it again. Because we saw a commercial, or we saw something, or we do, some of us go to places we've never heard before because something or somebody else shaped our thinking. And so I'm not talking about, we're not talking about just changing our behavior because we've seen something, changing our thinking. We're not talking about doing something that's useless to us. Because Jesus isn't interested in conforming or just changing our appearance. And even the behavior of people. Jesus is not just interested in, God is not interested in just changing our appearance. You know, we dress like somebody else. Something comes in style, and some clothes come in style, and everybody else start wearing it, we start wearing it. Just because we saw them wearing it. God is not interested in that. God is not interested in making you feel good because somebody else tell you to feel. That's not what it, see, the Bible, what the Bible does, he is interested in transforming. It's more than just surface level. It's more than just, it's actually becoming something else entirely. Amen. So not just emulating behavior because it's actually we becoming something else. Something better than we were. Yeah. I want to introduce you to a book. It's called Transformational Discipleship. One of the quotes in the book, I'll introduce it to you in just a second. One of the quotes in the book, it says, discipleship apart from Jesus is non-transformational. It may bring changes, but it essentially leaves you in the same spiritual state as it found you. The discipleship may provide education. It may improve behavior. It may even increase happiness. It may even add value. It may even, or it may make the disciple more skilled at a craft. But you know what? These are just changes. It's the reskinning of the same thing. It's the reskinning of the same thing on the inside. See, in other words, God wants to change us from the inside out. God wants our hearts to change. And if our hearts change, our behavior, we don't have to fake it. We don't have to do it because somebody else is doing it. And if they're not doing it, we don't do it. Yeah. He's interested in changing us through and through. Kind of reminds me of it. How many of you seen this commercial? It comes on, a couple of commercials, it comes on these football players or these basketball players. They have these jerseys, like have an NFL jersey. I think one of the Dallas Cowboy players comes on the commercial. He says, I've played 200 and something games in a row, and I have been to 6 Pro Bowls, and I've been to, you know, to all of these great accomplishments, and I wear this jersey with pride. And he has this Cowboy jersey on, and this little boy standing next to him, and he say, well, my mother bought me my jersey. So just because you wear a jersey don't make you a football player. Amen, somebody. And a lot of times we have this superficiality, and we feel good for a day because we get a hairstyle just like Beyonce. But I got news for you. You not Beyonce. Amen, somebody. Yeah. See, Jesus is not just a passing fad. He won't be replaced. Jesus is not to be replaced right around the corner by somebody else. Jesus doesn't just change people's clothes. He changes the very fabric of people, beings. He brings light to darkness. He brings the dead to life. He brings the new, the old to the new. And that's what he wants, and that's what transformational discipleship is. And before I sit down, before I go into some of the lessons we'll try to do in the future, transformation, let me say one thing that transformational discipleship is not. It's not just knowledge. See, transformational discipleship is not just knowledge. And I applaud anyone who is diligent about studying God's word, because it is a part of our transformation. But it's not the only thing, because you know a lot of smart people. You know a lot of individuals who know a lot of scripture, but they're not living much of it. Amen, somebody. And I want to say that, but because you remember when Jesus commanded, go and make disciples. of all the nations. And he said, teaching to them to observe all that I've commanded you. He didn't merely ask us to, he didn't merely ask us to teach everything he commanded us. Notice this. He didn't just ask for us to just teach everything. He asked us also to obey everything. You see, transformational discipleship is not us just knowing all the scriptures and knowing the truth and knowing the plan of salvation and knowing what the Bible says. It's also doing what the Bible says. And there is a huge difference, because sometimes those of us, especially after we've been in the church a while and we know it's right and we know what the truth is and we think we got an edge on folk, there are going to be some individuals who are going to get in the body of Christ and not going to know as much scripture, but their heart is right with God. They'll get through the gates before you are watching on the outside. It even reminds me of Judas. Judas in the Bible. In Matthew 26 and verse number 20 and verse 26. And I want to read this because I know we got some faithful saints in here. And I'm not trying to discourage you at all. You keep studying. You keep reading God's word. But just remember what we want. True discipleship is an encompassing of all the will of God. Of, yes, understanding the word of God, but it's living the word of God. Amen. Listen to Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 20. When evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, I assure you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed, each one began to say to him, surely not I, Lord. And he replied, the one who has dipped his hand with me in the bowl, he will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And listen, then Judas, his betrayer, replied, surely not I, Rabbi. And then Jesus said, you have said it, he told him. And look at this text again. It scares me. It really does. Amen. Jesus is just getting to the close of his life. And he's prophesying. Even as he's facing the cross, and he says, one of you who's eating this meal is going to betray me. And they all start amongst each other, Lord, 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 surely it's not I, Lord. But when you look at the verse a little closer and you read it again, listen to what Judas said. Judas responds a little bit differently. He says, surely not I, Rabbi. Surely not I, teacher. See, the 11 apostles knew that Jesus was the Lord of their life. Judas had spent the same time with Jesus that they had. He saw his miracles. He heard his teaching. He had to be impressed. But to Judas, Jesus was not Lord. He was just a man who he admired, who he respected, and Jesus told him, he says, you said it. I'm your rabbi, but I'm not your Lord. Lord have mercy. I hope that, you know, I scared me. Why did it scare you, Brigid? Because I've been in the church a long time. I have. I've been baptized since the age of 9. And when I read this passage, I said, you know, has Jesus come, becomes, have I become impressed with the word and impressed with his miracles and have I become complacent? And now I know the Bible is right and it's good information and it's good for teaching, but is Jesus Lord in my life? Because you kind of tell, because see, when you can start doing things you know are against God's word, you know it's not right. You know it's not, and you just callously wash over it. You act like it's not there. You act like you haven't read it. You do it, and then all of a sudden, you don't even have a conscience about doing wrong anymore. Something wrong with that picture. And Jesus says, you know what? You've just said it your own self. And it wasn't long after that, even after hearing that. That wasn't sometimes, you know, people come to worship service and, you know, they come to worship service and they're ready to go as soon as they sit. I know you're not in here this morning. I heard that sermon before. I think Gary preached that one 7 years ago. I remember when he preached it. And we got everything on our mind but the Lord. Lord, help us to transform. Help us to renew our minds. Help us to clean our spirits. Help us to respect and honor you above all, because we know you have all power. All power in your hand. The scriptures say in James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble. Yeah, the devil's got the information. They know who Jesus is. They know all about him. They know all about his power, but they refuse to obey Jesus. So transformation is more than imitation. It's more than just brainwashing. It's more than just information. It's more than even just the knowledge. And in this series of lessons, we're calling the capstone transformational discipleship. I want to use some tangible research from a study that was done by Lifeway Research, the premier company that has done surveys on the churches, what they call discipleship. And the book I mentioned earlier is called Transformational Discipleship. Some of you that are savvy with your computers, there's an e-book you can get. The book doesn't cost less than $10. It's written by three guys. They're not members of the Church of Christ, but they give some very sound. I use part of it because they give very, very sound teaching and scriptural references that I know attend to discipleship. And they did, and part of their work was simply surveying over 7,000 church leaders from all different faiths and individuals from both internationally and domestic here in the United States and other countries, surveying individuals who have in their eyes exemplified and demonstrated what they would call discipleship faith, evangelistic in their nature and their commitments to God. And they from the survey, they pulled out all of the tendencies and the activities and the acts that these people portrayed in general, and they identified these things that all these individuals had in common. And in my future lessons, I want to use some of the things that they found, some of the names that they called them, not because they listed them, but because they are sound in the teaching of God's word. And I want you to study with us, because I know, I believe that the Bible has all things that pertain to life and godliness. While we're living on earth, and to make us more like God. And you can take notes if you want to. You can analyze. But this lesson today for us is just simply to put on our minds that there, God wants us to transform. Yes. Our number one mission is to make disciples. But see, making disciples is more than just baptizing people. I understand it more clearly now than I've ever before. It's more than just dipping a person in the water. Although you will not see Jesus in peace if you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ. This is not the end. This is the beginning. And you heard it said before, the best time for you to die is when you come up out of that water. Amen, somebody. Because as long as we're living on this earth, we're going to have some trials we're going to go through. And you might well face the fact. And I know sometimes people don't like us to say it, but it's the truth. Our children, we try to protect our children. We try to protect them. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, you don't even want them to go outside. But wake up. They got to go outside. Amen. And when they go outside, they're going to see the boogeyman. Amen. And so you better get him ready. You better get her ready for the boogeyman. Because he's not going to leave her alone. She's not going to leave her alone. Him alone. And so we prepare ourselves, and God has given us these tools. And I want to give the topics, some of the topics, not all of them. But these are there are 8 things that they identified. And one is Bible engagement. One is obeying God and denying self, serving God and others, sharing Christ, exercising our faith, seeking God, building relationships, and unashamed. So don't hold me to all the titles, but we are studying about transformational discipleship in this last quarter of the year as we swiftly approach the end of the year, although we might not get to the end of the year, but we're in the last quarter. And our theme is making disciples, making a difference, not because that's we just like the phrase, it's because that's God's mission. But in order to get to heaven, we all going to have to be true disciples of God. Amen. I hope I didn't scare anybody this morning. But at the same time, we hope we put something on your mind. Amen. Amen. And I hope you're not nudging your husband and nudging your wife and saying, I hope she heard this and I hope he listening and I hope my... Start with yourself.
Amen.
Yeah, just start with yourself And let's analyze ourselves. But maybe there's somebody here who needs to be a disciple,
amen,
who needs to be added to the body of Christ. I keep saying it, maybe I shouldn't say it so much. I love the Fifth Ward Church of Christ.
Amen.
This body, this is our local family. And I love because we are loving people here.
Amen.
We got loving people here. We have workers in the Lord's church. This is a great place for somebody to work out their soul salvation.
Amen.
Yeah, and I'm saying it because I recognize, I know, because a lot of our members, they go out of town. They go, yeah, you know a church you can go to, I can go to. You know a place I can worship. And you know it's getting harder and harder for me to recommend places that's sound. Notice this. And see, the word sound, when I say sound, some of you say, yeah, you're right, because they're teaching the wrong doctrine. Because, see, sound really, it means healthy teaching.
Amen.
It's the right doctrine, but the church, see, because some people preach strong, but they are showing no love. You know, it's an atmosphere, it's strained. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad I could come in here and worship God and don't feel tight. But be telling me, brother, I just dread sitting in there now. Can you imagine on Sunday morning we come in and you so frustrated you can't even sing to God? I thank God that we share that faith. And I know we're not perfect. Brother, you act like we pray. Oh, no, I didn't say that. That's not true. We got some things. All of us got something we working on. Don't we? We do. But we admit it, and we just working on it, amen? Yeah, but because sometimes you just act like you don't. Pray for me, please. Please pray for me. I'm sorry. Please, will you forgive me? Please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because sometimes I go through changes. Sometimes, Lord, I pray, Lord, please. Keep me in a good mood. Amen. Don't let me say the wrong thing. Somebody in here need to come to Jesus. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was there for over time. Somebody here needs to be a disciple.
Yeah.
You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin. God adds you to his body, to his church. Yeah. Is there somebody that needs to come? Come right now as we stand. Sing the song of invitation.
The way,
yeah,
oh, Lord,
yes,
sure.